So, this week's seder is Mishpotim, Ve'ela HaMishpotim HaShetosim Lefnehem. The Torah tells us these are the laws that you have to put in front of the Yidden. So the Torah doesn't begin Vayidaba Hashem El Moshe the way it usually does. Parsha, a new parsha, should have some kind of an introduction. In fact, it starts Ve'ela. Rashi says, "Komokem shenema ele posel esarishonim." Wherever a posik or a parsha begins, these, it's these. Whatever went beforehand is disqualified. If a parsha begins ve ele and these, then it means moisif ala rishonim. Rashi says, "Ma rishonim mi Sinai," just as the Ten Commandments. So from Sinai, this also from Sinai, but you know. It's not a really satisfying answer. The question is better than the answer. So Rashi actually says, "Lamo nismecho parshas dinin the parshas mizbeach." So why is there this between the Ten Commandments and the story that we're going to learn in this week's Sedra, the laws of kisik ne'avad ivri of a Hebrew slave? We had at the end of last week's parasha, we had that if you make an altar, you have to make it of earth and unhewn stones, and you have to have a ramp, not to have steps, not to reveal your nakedness. And again, Rashi says, so what's the connection? Why is this sandwiched in between the Ten Commandments and this parasha that we have? To tell us that you have to have a Sanhedrin next to the Mizbeach, next to the altar in the temple. There had to be a court of law. So these are the laws that you have to put in front of them, in front of the Yidden, God saying to Moshe. Again, we haven't really answered why it doesn't say Vayidaba Hashem El Moshe Leimoy. So the Ishbitzer says, when it comes to Dinim, when it comes to law, judging, judgments, then everybody stands in front of God, even Moshe. And he gives an example, he compares it to a king, a czar, a ruler who's doing an inspection of the guard, a military parade. So when the king stands there and all the soldiers pass in front of him, the general, the chief of staff, the admirals, the five-star, whatever, they all have to walk in front of the king saluting them. There's no difference between the lowest private and the highest general. They all have to be turned out smartly with the polished buttons, just the same, the big one and the little one. So in this case, it doesn't say Ve'edaber Hashem al Moshe, God speaks to Moshe, because in this situation, Eila HaMishpotim, these are the laws, these are the judgments, these are the dinim. Moshe is no different from everybody else. Ki sikne eved ivri. When you buy a Hebrew slave, sheish shonim yavoid, 6 years he should work, and in the seventh, Yetze Lachovshi Chinam, he goes out free, doesn't have to pay to emancipate himself. So, what are we talking about here? Kisikne Eved Ivri, when you buy a Hebrew slave, how does a Jew come to be a slave? So Rashi says, Kisikne, when you buy him, Miyad Beis Din. We're talking about you buying him from the Beis Din, Shemachruhu Bignevosoi, because he was sold, because he stole something. As it says later in this week's Sedra, somebody who steals something, Im Einloi, and he doesn't have with what to pay back, Vinimkar Bignevosoi, he has to be sold for his stealing. So, why doesn't the Torah tell us the story? Why why does this whole parasha here begin in the middle of a narrative? We're not told why this person is being sold into slavery. We don't hear his narrative that he stole something and he got caught. Well, how did he come to steal something? Well, first of all, he lost everything that he had. Well, he's a Jew. He came into the land of Israel. He was given a portion of the land. How could he have lost it? Oh, you mean so he's got a long history of good for nothing. Yeah? He gambled it away, his field. And then he couldn't support himself, so he got a job. And then he couldn't hold a job, so he was unemployed. He was unemployed. His wife said to him, you know, the children are hungry, so he held up a bank. And he got caught, and he got tried, and he got sentenced. All this we don't know. How come we don't know? How come the Torah isn't bothered to tell us how we got here? And the answer is that Venimkar Bignevosoi, he gets sold for his stealing, refers already to Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon, he stole the tree of knowledge, the fruit of the tree of knowledge. The whole Torah is the story of Adam Harishon, who gets thrown out of the Garden of Eden for having eaten from the tree of knowledge and can't pay back. So Venimka Bignevose becomes a slave in this world and has to work to support himself. How does a person, how come eating from the tree of knowledge and getting involved in this whole story of what it is to be a human being, how come the closest thing that I can get to understanding the mechanics of Adam being expelled from the Garden of Eden is Venimka Bignevos is being sold for his Gneva? There are so many things that Adam did in eating from the tree of knowledge. Why am I being forced to look at this as a Gneva, stealing, robbery? And you know, there was a little bit of Avodah Zorah, a little bit of paganism in his eating from the tree of knowledge. There was a little bit of denial. There were so many sins, not least of which is lying. Why? What's this meaning of Geneva? Why is this being emphasized? So the Ishbitzer says, because the Ganef, a thief, was he really saying to God, God, I don't trust you to take care of me. I can't believe you that you're going to take care of me. I haven't any faith in you that you're going to take care of me. Every thief who steals something is really saying to God, I don't feel you. I'm not connected. Feel cut off from you. I've got to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of my own needs because you're not going to take care of my needs. So the act of stealing is a way of saying, God, I'm not in your presence. And so the Ganef has put himself into a place where he's not receiving directly from God. And the Venimka Bignevosa Kisikne Eved Ivri, the story of the Hebrew slave here is of a man who now has to receive his mezoinus, his food. He has to receive everything from a master, a human being, and not from God. Who's in charge of his daily, who's telling him what to do every day? Not God, his master. So Ki tikna evad ivri, the Me'er Shiloach says, the word kinyan here is the same word as takona, fixing, tikkun. Ki tikna evad ivri means when you fix the evad ivri. This is the fixing. What's the fixing? 6 years to have to listen to a master and to think about what it is to have put a barrier between your awareness of the presence of God and to go and steal, which means to say that I don't feel God, and now to be in a situation where you're acting it out because you want something to eat, you don't turn to God, you turn to your master, you say, I'm hungry, please feed me. So you get to act out in a physical situation what you were acting out in a spiritual way. Ki tikna evad ivri sheish shonim, for 6 years. We know that 6 is the mid of Yesod, and so the beginning of the Sedra is Ve'ela, which is a Vav, which is the 6 of the beginning of the Yesod, which means I have to get in touch with Yosef. If I'm going to get myself together, I have to get in touch with Midas Yisod, I have to get in touch with the flow that is coming through me. I have to get in touch with Midas Yisod. The phrase, getting myself together, itself is the Midas Yisod, because Yisod is also known as Ki Koil. L'cho Hashem Agdula, Agvura, Tiferes, V'Netzach, V'Ahoid, Ki Koil. Everything comes together when I get in touch with Yosef HaTzadik, who's in me. So, how do we get there? To understand how we get there, let's try and understand what it was that Adam HaRishon did. How did Adam HaRishon come to steal the Eitz HaDa'as? So, in the Tikkuni Zohar it says that the original Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nase Adam, let's make man. So he already exists, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let's make him. Then it says, Vayivro, he created him. Then it says, Vayitzer, and he formed him. This is Vayikach Sodom HaShah also, and then it says, he took the man that he had made. So it comes down all these different levels from Atzilus to Bria to Yitzira to Asiyah. So the Tikkun Ezeiah says that the original man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, he withdrew his light from and he turned into another person. This person in the Olam HaBriya sins in his Machshava and gets sent down to the Olam HaYitzira. This creature of Adam, who's now a different person, he sins in Olam HaYitzira and he gets sent down to the Olam HaAsiyah. So the original Adam stands, so to speak, face to face with his creator, and then the light is withdrawn and Adam is then in the Olam HaBriya and he sins b'machashova, he sins in his thought, and then he gets sent down into the Olam Yetzira where he sins in deed, and he gets sent down to the Olam HaAsiyah, which is this world. He gets sent out of Gan Eden into this world, which is the Olam of Tikkun, which is Ki Tikna Eved Ivri. Okay, so what does it mean that Adam sins b'machashova? So in Parshas Bereishis, right, the story of Adam eating from the tree of knowledge, V'hanocha Shoyorum, it says that the serpent was crafty. And he says to the woman, Af ki omalikim, even though God said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, even though God said, don't eat from the trees of the garden, and she says, no, we're allowed to eat from the trees of the garden, just from the tree of knowledge. That's the one that God said, don't eat from it, and so forth. So the Nachash says, you're not going to die. Because God knows that on the day that you eat from it, your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to be like God. What was there in that? What was there in that thing that the Nachash has said that was so marvelous that the next pasuk it says, "Vatera ishiki toiv." She sees that the fruit's good to eat and so forth, and she eats it and she gives from her to her husband, and then the eyes are opened. What was it that the Nachash, the serpent, said something so marvelous that they were instantly grabbed? We know that God said, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'odam leimai." God commanded man, saying, "You should eat from every tree of the garden, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat, because ki b'yoyim acholchom emen, on the day that you eat from it, mois tomus, you're gonna die." And the Nachash says, "Ki yodea lekim," because God knows, "ki biyoy macholchem imen," on the day that you eat from it, "v'nifkechu einechem," your eyes are going to be opened. So, when God said to Adam, "Ki biyoy macholchem imen," on the day that you eat from it, you're going to die, for sure, Adam was going to eat. Otherwise, you know, otherwise God is speaking for nothing. God is saying, because God doesn't say, if you eat from it on that day, you'll die. He doesn't say that. It just says, "Ki biyoy macholcha," because on the day that you eat, and we've talked about this many times. In this week's Seder, we have something similar. In Chapter 23, verse 20, says, "Hine onoichi shaleach malach lefanecha." I'm going to be sending an angel in front of you, lishmarcha baderech, to guard you on the road, ulehaviyachu el amokim ashechinoisin, to bring you to that place that I've prepared for you. Hishomer miponav. You got to be careful from him. You got to listen and don't rebel, because he's not going to bear any of your sins. So Rashi says, "Hine anoichi shaleach malach." I'm sending an angel. "Kan nisbasru." Here the Yidden were being told the news, "Shasidim lachter," that they're going to be sinning with the eagle. "Ushchinay meres lehem," and the Shchin is going to be saying to them, "Kilei el bikerbech." I'm not going up with you. I'm going to send a malach. So this already, this parsha Mishpotim, you know, according to most opinions, this was said back in Mora, this was said weeks ago. The whole parasha of Mishpotim is really was said before Matan Torah, even though we're reading it after Matan Torah, but really the whole thing was said before Matan Torah, because at the end, the next parasha, in Parasha Chof Dalet, chapter 24, says, and to Moshe he said, "No, go up to God onto the mountain," you know, and he was there for 40 days. So this seems to have been before Matan Torah. Already before Matan Torah, we're being told that we're going to be sinning with the eagle. Very few people, I mean, Rashi didn't make this up, this comes from the Mechilta. Very few people deal with this. Only Ishbitz deals with this, really. That Adam HaRishon is already told, "Ki biyoy macholchom imenu mois tomus," on the day that you eat from it, you're going to die. And which means that he's going to be eating from it. And we are already being told, before we even get to Sinai, that we're going to be sinning with the egel, with the golden calf. We don't get told it's okay, just like Adam doesn't get told it's okay that he's going to be sinning. In fact, he gets told that he's going to die. How come? What's the mechanism? What are the mechanics of Adam sinning. So if Adam sins already before he actually eats, he sins b'machashova, and that's what puts him down into the world of Yetzira from the world of Bria. But he got to the world of Bria because already the light was nistam imenu. How did that happen? You know, I heard a joke from Yori. It sounds like a Yori joke. It's really, really deep. So, you'll excuse me if it's a little bit indelicate, but it's a gewalt, very, very deep. So, there's this yeshiva bocha sitting on a bus, on a train, something, minding his own business. And this beautiful woman comes and sits opposite him, and she says to him, "Oh, you're so handsome. I could really dig you, you know? Listen, I tell you what, let's go to a hotel, and I'll hire a room, and you'll come with me, and I'll take off my clothes, I'll take off your clothes, and I'll do all kinds of things." And she describes to him all kinds of details what she's going to do. She's really beautiful. And he listens to her, and he says, "Yeah, but what's in it for me?" How come Adam HaRishon, when Chava comes and says to him, "Here, this gewalt, beautiful fruit, it's going to open up your eyes, and Yisem Kelekim, you're going to be like God," and how come Adam HaRishon didn't say, "Yeah, but what's in it for me?" So this is my understanding. The Nochash says, on the day that you eat from it, your eyes are going to be opened, v'hiyisem, and you are going to be. How did Adam get to such a place where he could be thinking of the future? What's going to happen in the future? We know these are one of the basic Torahs from the Rebbe Rabbinim, that Adam, before he sinned, he was in a state of das, of knowing, that he was aware of everything. When he looked around him, he could see all the connections. When it says that Adam could name everything, it's like he could see the wind, he could see the air, he could see the water, he could see the birds and the trees and the earth, and he could see in everything, Kvod Shemaim, the glory of heaven. He could see the word with which God sustains everything. I mean, if we could see how everything is oscillating, how, you know, the electrons flow around the atoms of everything, you know, how most of what we're looking at is really empty space, but that things are flashing in and out of existence. And, you know, the fact that we feel that we live in a solid world, you know, is complete illusion. The whole world is just energy fields. And energy is only matter because of E=mc² kind of mathematical formula. The truth is, matter is an illusion. It's all pure energy. Everything is energy. Adam HaRishon, when he was made, he lived in this. Everything that he experienced was a revelation of the glory of God. There was, for Adam HaRishon, no sense of himself. There wasn't that part of him that we have that's always looking at ourselves. Adam HaRishon was aware of God. And if he was aware of himself, he was aware of himself as the same way that he was aware of the birds and the earth and the trees and the sky as being this creature that was Yetzir Kapov, the artifact of the hands of God. That was how Adam saw himself, as a part of creation, as the ultimate revelation of the divine. But there wasn't self-consciousness in the way that you and I have, are stuck with, we can't get rid of. Adam, before he sinned, was in communion. And so, according to the Rebbe Rabbinim, when God says, now you have to die, it's not a punishment. It's that the only way you can get back to communion with God and the awareness of the glory of God, even in your own self, is to get rid of your self-consciousness, which is a function of the, you know, the biochemical matrix of a brain. That's such a yerida, that to get into that awareness of the self, which is a function of the brain, that is a, such a come down from where Adam HaRishon was, where to him he could see the spinning electrons of all the electromagnetic connections that are what reality really is. You know, when they show a movie of the virtual world, you know, that they show like numbers and all these numbers connecting with numbers and lines that connect, just the light and all these flickering lights as a way of describing an electronic reality that's not a physical reality, but the truth is that electronic reality, that's the real one. It's light. All energy is just light. To be in this world of fleischige Augen, where you're looking out with eyes made of meat at a solid world, this is a very big come down. How did Adam get to this world of Asiya, where you knock on a piece of table and it goes bang bang? How did he get there from being in the Olam Atzilus? And the answer is that, as the Tikkun Ezer says, that Adam of Atzilus nistam mimenu. The Or was nistam mimenu. What does it mean, the Or is nistam? How could Adam think of a future? The Hi Yisem, you're going to become, the Nachash says. How could Adam have got to, I'm going to become, from being in the moment? How could he get to thinking about the future if he's in the moment? So the Bais Yaakov says, the Gemara in Nedarim says, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Eile Moyadeh Hashem Yikrei Kodesh Asher Tikra Oysam. These are the festivals that you call them. So Oysam, it says again, Oysam, the Gemara says, Atem, Ashtikru Atem, you call the Moyadis, you call the festivals, even by mistake, even bemazed, even if you make not a mistake, you decide to mess up the calendar because it suits you for whatever reason, the Sanhedrin decides, to change Rosh Hashanah to make it, we want it this year on a Tuesday. That's the day Rosh Hashanah is going to be. Atem afilu mazidim. Why? Because you are the Sanhedrin. And if you are the Sanhedrin, how did you get to be a Sanhedrin? You have smicha. You have smicha from your Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe, who got it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu, v'sakoisius kapiolecha, God says, I'm going to give you smicha. So, if based in, right at the end of time, are making a mistake or are doing something wrong, then that means that the smicha, all the way back to the smicha that God gave Moshe, there's a pigam. It can't be. So therefore, if Sanhedrin decide on something, then God all the way back in time has to agree that that's the right thing to do. Otherwise, there's a pigam. Otherwise, there's something wrong in it. If we've talked about it in previous classes, the idea of yichus. If I can be in my yichus, that means I know that I'm a child of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, which means that I know I can feel the haskoma, I can feel the smicha, I can feel the heskim, I can feel the agreement of God saying, yeah, my shechina is in you, you are it. How much more so Adam HaRishon, who was Yetzir Kapov, he was the creation of God. How come he didn't know that he couldn't do any wrong? How could he do any wrong? I mean, if he does anything wrong, it means that there's a pigam. And if he's the creation of God, you know, lech le'omen sho'esani, go to the person who made me and complain. How come Adam HaRishon didn't know that? Rezil HaMalach, in the Sefer Rezil HaMalach, Rabbi Elazar Rekech says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, he turned his face away. And that's why the first letter of the Torah is Bereishis. It's like, you know, there's no access. It's like a parenthesis. It's closed, that's it, you can't. Because God will not allow this awareness to exist. Because if this awareness exists, that I and you, that we are the creation that God made, there's no room for us to worship. There's no room for avoider. So the Nas Adam, God says Nas Adam, let's make man, and then God, so to speak, turns his face away from Adam. So immediately there's a gap in Adam's awareness, so much so that Adam starts to think of himself, not that I know, but that I know that I know. What does it mean for Adam to eat from the tree of knowledge? What does he think is going to happen? He thinks, I'm going to go beyond knowing to knowing that I know. Because Adam, the word, the zoihama, the corruption, that the essential sin that the nochash, that the serpent puts into Adam's mind, is the idea of a future that's different from the now. And in that future, Adam thinks, ooh, not only do I know, but I'm going to be aware that I'm aware. I'm going to know that I know. That's the inner of Eitz Hadas, meaning from the tree of knowledge. But if I know everything now, what's to learn? And he says, no. The nochash says, yeah, you're going to have another level of knowledge. You're going to know that you know. You're going to know that you know. And that Adam doesn't realize at that time that that's a down. That's a big step down. Watching yourself is a big step down. If I can't listen to a piece of music without watching myself listening to the piece of music, ooh, look, Hashi, you're enjoying this music. Yeah, listen, but I'm not listening. If I'm thinking about Hashi, you're listening. I'm not listening. I'm watching myself. I'm not listening. The experience, what Adam thinks is going to be an enhanced experience, is a complete, an iron curtain comes down. That's not an enhanced experience. And so, the whole story of Adam's fall really happens because Adam is thinking about. At the end of last week's Sedra, we said to Moshe, it's very interesting, after the Aseret Hadibros, after the Ten Commandments are over, Lisachmoid, don't covet your friend's house, don't covet your friend's wife, his slave, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, anything that belongs to your servant, that's the end of the Ten Commandments. Anything anything belongs to your neighbor, right? So the Torah tells us in the next verse, and all the people see the sounds, they see the noise, They can see the sound of the shofar. Something has happened to them. And the lightning, the thunder, they can see it. And the sound of the shofar, they can see the sound of the shofar. And this mountain that's smoking, and the people see, or you could see the people, and they were moved. And they stood from the distance, and the Gemara says that they were thrown back 12 miles. Every time God said something, the whole Jewish people was thrown back 12 miles, and then the angels had to come and bring them back again. The Gemara says that each time, like from the first of the Aseres Hadibros, when God says, Anochi Hashem Lekecha, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the whole world was full of spices, the smell of spices, and they saw, they could actually see God, and they were so terrified of this presence that they were thrown back, and the whole world was full of this awareness of I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, and there was no room for anything else. So the Gemara says, so what happened? How could the second of the Ten Commandments have been said? The Gemara says that Mavarishon Rishon, that a wind came and blew away all those the besomim, the incense, and the awareness, and the malachim, the angels, came and brought the Eden back again. And then God said, Lo yelecho, let there be no other gods. And again, we were full of that awareness, and we were thrown back another 12 miles. So like, we walked 120 miles that morning, and the angels brought us back 120 miles. 10 times. By the time it was over, V'cholo am royim es hakoilos. We could see the sounds. Meaning, we had gotten back to the stage of Adam Arishon before the sin, right? We could see everything. And in fact, it doesn't say, and we saw, V'cholo am ro'u. We became, at that moment, like Adam before the sin, V'cholo am royim, and we're all seeing. It's in the present tense. At the moment God said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, we were as obviously the work of God's hands as Adam was on the moment that God created him and he opened his eyes and he looked at the world. There was no room for a commandment saying, Lo yelecha, let there be no other gods. It was inconceivable to us. There was no room in our brain to hear a prohibition against paganism and idol worship. We were in complete awareness of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, not your, not Melekechem. It wasn't in the plural, it was in the singular, I'm your God. It was so clear to each of us that everybody who was there was Adam HaRishon before the sin. And God had to mavirishin rishin. God had to remove that awareness so that there could be a second commandment, otherwise there wouldn't be room for it. And so each commandment had to be wiped away before there could come the next one. And yet something of that first commandment stays because it came from the mouth of God, and you know, it wasn't Moshe who's telling it us. Inside everybody's heart is that awareness. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I created you, says God. Look at me. Just as Adam is able to look for a moment and see creation and God and the divine presence. And then what do we say? Vayoyimru el Moshe. The next verse is, Daber ato imonu v'nishma. You got to speak to us and we'll listen. Va'al yidaber imonu v'nishma. We can't, please, no more from God, pen nomus, and lest we die. So my question is, so what? So what we die? Why are we so afraid of dying? It seems like being in this awareness of God, what could be more amazing? But you see, already we've gone from v'cholo amroyim, and all the people are seeing in the present, to pen nomus, we may die in the future. This change in us, from being in the moment to be thinking about the future, this is the whole fall. This is the eating from the tree of knowledge. And that's why this week's Sedra begins, Ve'elah HaMishpotim. What does Moshe answer? Moshe says, Vayoyme Moshe El Ha'am. Because we've said to him, we can't hear anymore, God, you please, you speak to us and go, we're going to die, right? He says, Al Tiro'u, don't be afraid. Ki Levavur Nasois Eschem Bo Elokim, God only came to raise you up. Uba'avur Tia Yirosoi Al Peneichem Levilti Sechetou, and in order that his fear be upon your face, that you not sin. Zuk de Gemara, what does it mean? Uba'avir Tia Yirosoi Al Peneichem. What does it mean when Moshe says, and the reason that God did all this to you is that your fear, his fear should be on your face? Zuhabusho, this is shame. What does the Gemara mean? We know that the first thing Adam experiences is shame. As soon as he's eaten from the tree of knowledge, Vatipukachno enei shnehem, and their eyes are opened, Vayedu ki erumim heim, and they know that they're naked, Vayitpuru, Vayispuru ale te'eno, and they take these fig leaves, Vayasu lahem chagurois, and they make themselves belts to hide their nakedness. So the whole eating from the tree of knowledge gives them busho. So here, Moshe says to us, you know, don't be afraid. God only wants you to have busha. This whole experience of the Ten Commandments, of the revelation, is to raise you up and then to give you busha. Why would? How does the busha come? How does the shame come in? See, if I stand face to face with God the way I'm really supposed to, which is Na'aseh Adam, when God says, let us make man, and then we're there in that moment and can see all the connections, the sparkling glory of God, there's no shame. The shame comes from the not knowing, from the hastorah, from the being aware that I'm aware, from being aware that, you know what, I am in danger of doing something really, really stupid, really, really. Guilt. I could only feel guilt for having done something. Shame, I can even feel for not having done something. For having wanted to do something, I can feel ashamed. God says to Moshe, God says to Adam, Hamin ha'etz, Hamin ha'etz, mi higid lecho ki erum oto. Who's told you that you're naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you of not to eat? And we were learning in Ishbitz the meaning of this Hamin Ha'etz. It doesn't mean God is asking Adam, have you eaten? But he's asking, do you believe that you could have eaten from a tree that I commanded you not to eat of it? How could you believe such a thing about me that I would let you do such a thing? How come you don't feel your yichus? Like the Sanhedrin, that on purpose they make the dates, they mess with the calendar because they know they can feel their smicha going all the way back to Moshe, to God. And so they know that whatever it is that they do, God has to sanction it. Otherwise there's a problem in this original smicha, which we know there isn't. Therefore, they at the end of the line can do whatever they like. How come Adam, God says to Adam, how come you don't know that everything you do I have to sanction because I made you? How could you believe that you could do something against my will and messes everything up? What does that say about what you think of me? What kind of created are you painting me out to be if you think that I would create you and let you do such a thing? That question is the source in itself of Adam's shame. How could I? And Adam hears this gora, hears this shout, Hamin ha'etz. And that sets up in Adam HaRishon an existential dread. Have I eaten? Did you eat? God says, have I? And Adam is saying, Did I? Have I? Am I? And we are still here trembling with this shout of Hamin ha'etz. And for what reason? Because Leman Nasoischa, Moshe says, this, the whole thing is in order to raise you up. In order to raise you up. Vayomer Moshe la'am altiro, don't be afraid. Ki levavur nasois eschem b'olikim. God, this whole thing has come because God wants to raise you up like a nace, like a flag. Ubavutia yirosa penechem, and in order that that the shame be on your face, that yirosa penechem, these two things go together. And in order for God to raise you up, and in order for there to be shame, in order for there to be all that confusion, so that there be room, so that you not be able to experience all the time your connection to God, and that you can come to be a ganef the way Adam was a ganef, by thinking about the future and not being in the moment. Already we're setting ourselves up to be a ganef. So we get to the Ve'elah HaMishpotim. This week begins Kisikne Eved Ivri. Adam HaRishon is the Eved Ivri. Adam HaRishon is sold for his sin of stealing, and you and I, we are sold into this world for the sin of stealing that we committed already in another world, in a higher world, because we ate from the tree of knowledge in a higher world. And how did we come to eat from the tree of knowledge? Because we thought that the future could be different, it could be better. I could be better in the future than I am now. How could that be? Because I thought about myself, thinking about myself. You know, I don't have to like myself. You know, I mean, the whole Torah doesn't say a person has to like himself. But I have to accept myself. And Adam HaRishon, from the very first moment, didn't accept himself. And that's why we're here in Gulis. And even though I don't like myself, and a lot of people, you know, it gets down to like, I wish I were better than I were, and I wish I were other than I were. I'm not allowed to say that. I have to accept myself as I am, even if I don't like myself. And I have to say, this, I am a creature, I am a creation, I am Yitzir Kapov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm made by God. So to say that I don't accept myself means that I don't accept God. And this is the whole story of the Geneva. If I don't accept who I am, and then I can't be in the presence of God. I can't be in the divine presence because I'm not accepting myself. What am I but the divine presence? I'm the creation of God. So everything will come down to accepting who I am. And this is accepting who I am means to come to terms with the Yosef in me that brings everything together. I don't like it. So don't like it. Do I wish I were Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, sure. Avram Avinu. I wish I were the Gerer Rebbe. Sure. I can understand that. But wishing is one thing. I have to accept myself. If I can accept myself, then Sheish Shonim Yavoid. Then I can work on becoming the conduit for the whatever it is that God made me for. It's not going to happen until I accept myself. And then if I can come to this madrega of Yosef who accepts himself, then I can reach the seventh of Yetzel HaChofshi, which is Malchus. I bless you and me that regardless of the way we feel emotionally about ourselves, that consciously we make a decision to accept ourselves. We are Yitzir Kapov, we are the creation, a divine creation, and God made us because He wants to dwell in us. We are the dwelling presence, and so therefore I need to collect myself together, get myself together, which means to accept all the parts of me and then use them in the service of God as a tool, as a chariot, as a Merkava, as a vehicle to extend the glory of God and to be Marbe Kvod Shemayim in the world. Thank you.